Well, we're in a series we have entitled This We Believe. We're looking at the biggest ideas that run throughout Scripture because we want to pay attention to our core beliefs. It is our core beliefs that we form all of our teaching around here at Oak Hills Church. And we've talked about some big ideas. We've talked about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We talked about what we believe about salvation last week. We talked about what we believe about the church. That was fun. We said that the church is not our choice because it is God's choice to reach those who don't know him, his choice to disciple those who already do. And we said that the church is the place where the Holy Spirit has given us all spiritual gifts, and we bring those gifts to build up the body, to build up the church. Next week, Max will be teaching what we believe around Christ's return. But this week we are talking about the source of everything that we believe. This week, we're talking about the Bible, the Word of God. Well, let's pray together and then we'll dive in. Father, it is our prayer that you would bless our time together as we come to your Word, that you would give us open ears, give us open hearts, that we may hear you more clearly than we have in the past, that we might see you more clearly, that, Father, we seek you. We want to see you and only you. Father, would you bless the preaching of your word? Would you bless the hearing of your word and the doing of your word? And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all those who agreed said, amen. Well, the Bible is the most unique book you will ever read. In fact, for starters, it's not really a book. It's more of a collection of books. 66 to be exact, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. But here's what's fascinating to me. 40 authors. The Bible is written by 40 different authors over a period of over 1,500 years. Written in three different languages. Written on three different continents. This was before the time of social media, of course. These guys, they didn't share a zip code. They didn't even share the same time period. And even if they had, they probably would not likely have ever met each other. Think about it. These 40 authors, they were shepherds, they were soldiers, they were prophets, they were priests, they were farmers, physicians, monarchs, and musicians. Well, come to think of it, the Bible should be one big disconnected mess, when in reality, it is one big unified story of the one true God and his love for his people and the redemption of his people. 40 authors, strangers, most whom would never meet. Yet the unity of that binds the Bible is a miracle in and of itself. How is that possible? Not to mention over 300 fulfilled prophecies about Jesus Christ, written some 500 years or more before he was even born. How is that possible? Well, the Bible has endured more burnings. It has endured more bans over the ages than any other book. Yet for over the last 300 years, it's been the top seller. How is that possible? Could it be that the Bible is more than just a book? In just a moment, I'm going to invite some of my friends up to talk about their experience and their relationship with the Bible. But before we do that, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, before it became a book in the New Testament, it was simply a letter. A letter being written by the Apostle Paul, who's sitting in a Roman dungeon awaiting his fate. He was writing to encourage his young friend. His name, well, you guessed it, his name was Timothy. We know that this was the last letter that Paul would write. I wonder if he knew that too. What would you write? What would you write if you were writing to someone whom he referred to, Timothy, his beloved son? Well, if you thought possibly these could be the last words he would ever hear from you, what would you write? Well, let's take a look at some of the words that Paul chose. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. He says to Timothy, "But you must remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Now, I would encourage you, 2 Timothy is not a long letter. It's quite short. It wouldn't take you long to read through it. Even this week, I would encourage you to do that. But I don't want you to miss what Paul didn't want Timothy to miss. The Bible is the inspired word of God and is the final authority in life and in doctrine. It is the inspired word of God. You see, this explains the unexplainable unity and prophecy found in Scripture. The Bible is one story because the Bible was inspired by one Holy Spirit. I want to invite some of my friends to come on up. I asked them to come and share with us today because these are people who love the Word of God. But not only that, they have invested their lives and given their lives to instilling the Word of God in others. We have Deneen Gakey, who is our women's ministry director, working with our women. Samuel Bernal, who works with our students in college age and young adults. Miss Selma Rivas, who leads our family ministry, which includes from young adults all the way to our children. And then Jim Barker, who is one of our elders here and one of our master teachers, if I do say so myself. So thank you, guys. Can we welcome them to the stage for being with us? Deneen, we'll start with you. We're talking about the Bible and we're talking about it being the inspired word of God. But I think if we're honest, a lot of times the question that we really have is, does it really make a difference? I mean, if we invest in the Word of God, does it really produce transformation in our lives? And you work with a lot of women, and so I was hoping maybe you could share with us some of the testimonies from that.
Well, I'd love to. I love that you're teaching on 2 Timothy because our summer Bible study was on 2 Timothy.
Ah, what a coincidence.
So
that's good.
Our group of ladies met this summer, and I'm going to share four different and brief stories from our summer Bible study of women who have been so gracious to let me share their stories in hopes that they'll encourage you today. So as I said before, we just finished our women's study on 2 Timothy, and our theme verse was 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Paul reminds Timothy to fan his flame of faith because God didn't give him a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so as we studied 2 Timothy and shared through testimonies and Bible teachings, women began to see how the Word of God was relatable and how it applied to their lives. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror that sees and shines into the secret places of our hearts and changes us on the inside first. Well, several women were brave enough to share how the Word of God was changing them. God's Word spoke faith, courage, and hope into their hearts and directly into their circumstances of pain, trauma, praise, and heartache. So our first story begins with Natalie. Natalie underwent a double mastectomy and reconstructed surgery several weeks ago. With rallied prayer support, she came out of her surgery with mobility and strength to walk 2 miles a couple of days later. She's now entering her next phase of treatment with continued faith, joy, and hope in God as her healer. She gladly offers comfort and many hugs to all those who are in need. Next is Brooke. Brooke is walking through healing from a verbally and physically abusive relationship. And at the same time, she's asking God for strength and wisdom on how she can share God's word through expressing her faith in forgiveness, courage, mercy, justice, and hope as she confronts her abuser and continues in college. Cynthia was reminded of her healing from depression and insomnia caused by dependence on prescription medication. She continues to overcome the physical side effects by leaning on the promises of God and lives by the truth that his grace is sufficient for her and his strength is made perfect in her weakness. And finally, Lucia. Her anchor of hope in God's word is in the story of the prodigal son. She has a newfound resolve to take every thought captive, to love and trust God with her children, and persevere in prayer for her daughter, who's pushed God aside in her life right now, and to pray for their estranged relationship. You know, the underlying truth in all of these stories is that the word of God has changed each woman in their own way, regardless of their circumstances, to love for the long haul, to persevere, and to overcome because of the gospel and the word of their testimony. These women are not going to allow fear and doubt to keep them from God or from his promises. They're confident that God is going to use their story to comfort and offer hope to others. And they're walking in joy and in trust and in confidence that God's going to continue the work that he started in them, as well as holding on to Jesus with patient expectation.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. And Danine, I know that is just a small snapshot of everything that you see. Thank you so much for investing in the lives of our women and instilling the word of God in them. Samuel, I know you get an opportunity to work with our students and with a lot of young adults. It seems like the question that they have for a lot of them is, the Bible just seems so old. I mean, do these ancient writings really have anything to say about my life today? Is there any connection or application?
Yeah, I think that's a question we hear a lot today. And, you know, I think we live in a society where everything goes out of date all the time so quickly. And it continually has to be upgraded. And if it can't, then how can it help me? How can it help us? And, you know, I think so many people have adopted that idea when it comes to faith. You know, the world is constantly preaching is that the Bible is old. The Bible is outdated. It's irrelevant to our current living in 2018. How can it be helpful to me? You know, Trav, but I think the truth is that the applicability of Scripture isn't necessarily based on the specific time that it was written. It's based on the God of the Bible. It's based on the God who's in the Bible. And that's why you hear writers like John say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you see later on Jesus declare, I am the way. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we see here that Jesus is the point. He's the main idea of the Scripture. It all points to him. And obviously, he always was, he always is, and he always will be. And so later, that's why the writer of Hebrews can declare, for the word of God is living and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's different here, right? This is no ordinary book. You know, nobody's walking around going, where's my NIV charger, you know, from my Bible. But, you know, but the truth is that Scripture still applies to us today, because we're just not here to be informed. Our lives are here of all ages. People of all ages are still being transformed by the power of God's word. And we're seeing that still today in 2018, from children to middle school students, to high school students, to college and young adults, and people starting their career field, that God is still changing their lives and transforming them by the power of his word, because it's living and active. So,
amen. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Well, and Samuel, I know you'd love to connect with any of the college young adults that we may have. Don't you guys meet on Thursday nights?
We do. We meet every single Thursday night over in the South Room at 7 o'clock. Shout out to all my college and young adults. They're over here sitting. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Come and hang out with us. We'd love to
hang. All right. Thank you, Samuel. Miss Selma. You have been investing in the Word of God and instilling it in the lives of our children, all of our families. for some time now. I was hoping maybe you could talk to us just a little bit about the legacy of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I considered the word legacy and its definition, something that is a result of events in the past, an inheritance, a heritage, and ultimately a gift. When I was little, my dad gave me my first Bible. I was just learning to read, and he gave it to me in English and in Spanish. It was his hope that his children would grow to learn the Word of God and that they would teach it in both languages someday. He always said that he didn't want us to have an inherited religion, but that he wanted us to have our own conviction that would come from knowing God through his Word, and that one day we would pass it on to our own children and to others that we would be teaching. Throughout scriptures, there are countless verses that speak to us of God's guidance and instruction for teaching our children and for telling them about the good news. We find it first in Deuteronomy 6, where he says, "Teach these things to your children." Psalm 78, "We will tell the next generation of the wondrous deeds of the Lord." In Joshua 1:8, he says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night." So our heritage, our inheritance as believers through the guidance of God's word is passed on when we share God's story and how it has transformed ours. That's when it becomes our faith. So what then can we give our children that will lead them to repentance, that will help them grow in their faith, and that will equip them for every good work? The Bible. Just the Bible. It's through the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit that hearts can be changed. And in family ministry with our children and student ministry directors, as we disciple our children and our students, it is our desire for them to love God with all of their heart, that they would know the power that comes through an obedient life and the reward that comes from walking with the Lord faithfully. Our goal as parents and as a church is to ensure an endeavor to pass on our faith and the love for God's word to the next generation. We want them to be strong, committed, convicted followers of Jesus Christ in our absence, because one day we will no longer be here. And the only thing that will endure will be those things that we have successfully transferred and passed on to our children and our children's children, so that their faith through the power of God's word can endure for future generations. My father's favorite verse that he blessed us with continually came from 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth. Your children have become our children of faith. And church, there is no greater heritage, no greater inheritance or gift that we can leave or give our children than to pass on a legacy of faith that comes from knowing the truth and the power of God's word.
Amen. Amen. Miss Selma, I love seeing the joy well up in you because of that verse that you read, seeing the children walking in faith. And we see that even in Bible Land, where some of our teachers actually went through Bible Land, and now the legacy continues. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, Jim, I so enjoy getting to spend time with you, and I love our time. I kind of feel like I'm walking away from getting to spend time with Jesus and himself sometimes, the way we get to sharpen each other, and I appreciate that. The question that I wanted to ask you is, I'd really love for us to hear, what has the Bible meant to your life?
That's a great question. Looks like God answered your father's prayer in your life, Selma. But to understand what the Bible has meant to my life, it'd be important to understand first what my life was like before God and the Bible came into my life. And it's the scripture itself, it's the Bible itself that best describes my condition. As Ephesians 4 renders it, I was darkened in my understanding because of the ignorance that was in me, because of the hardness of my heart. And I became calloused, and I gave myself over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I was seeking to navigate the dark and dangerous, confusing sea of life by the subjective light in the bow of my own little boat, by whatever I felt like doing. But I found myself hopelessly lost and full of despair. And in my despair, I called out to God and told God he could have my life. If he'd take it, I'd give it to you. And I begged Christ to come into my life, and he did. And he came in giving me his desires. And the first desire I can recall receiving from Christ was the desire to go find a Bible somewhere, pick it up, and read about this one who had just come into my life. And what I read in the Gospel of John stirred my soul, gripped me, gave hope to my despairing life. I read that God chose in the person of Jesus to come live among us as a human being, and he came full of needed grace and truth. Jesus went on to say that if I live in his words, I could know the truth, and the truth would set me free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to know the true Father. He went on to say that he would send his Spirit of truth to live in me and to guide me into all truth, and prayed to the Father that the Father would cleanse me and purify me and make me holy in his truth. His word is truth. And that the reason that Jesus came into this world and was born was to bear witness to and reveal the truth. I've come to learn that the Bible is a book of revelation from God, providing the light of truth to enlighten my darkened understanding, inform my ignorance, and to show me that the true way to live is not through self-indulgence. No, it is through self-giving love for the well-being of others, empowered by Christ, who first loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, and then there was this. The Bible took me to the truth in Jesus to answer the five big questions of life that were haunting my soul. The question of origin: where did I come from? Is there a God? And if there is, what is he actually like? The question of identity: who am I? I know what I've tried to be, but what is my true identity meant to be, and how do I become that person? The question of meaning and purpose: what is the meaning and purpose of life, the meaning of my life? And the question of morality: how should I live while I'm on this earth? What values will guide my life, and how will I live out those values? And then the big question: destiny. What's going to happen to me after I die? What will be my eternal fate? Where would I go to find answers to these questions? Nowhere else but the Bible, God's word, to answer our questions. For this reason, the Bible is my most precious and valuable possession on earth. And it's worthy of routine reading, diligent study, memorization, and meditation. For where else would I go to find a North Star of truth to guide my way through life and teach me to live my life as a true expression of my relationship with my Creator in every thought, every motive, every relationship, every circumstance, and every task, and always to the well-being and blessing of others? Nowhere else but the Bible. For the Bible is God's word of life from the author of life itself. And this is some of what the Bible has meant to my life.
Amen. Amen. Church, can we thank our friends for sharing with us today? Thanks so much for being with us. The Bible is the inspired word of God and the final authority for our life and for our doctrine, what we believe. Let me ask you, what is the final authority in your life? Is it someone's opinion? Is it the thoughts of one of your professors? Is it your own thoughts, your own feelings and emotions? Is it traditions? What is the final authority in your life? You see, the Bible is not just a book of ideas that we can just place in our pocket that we can take out when we need them. No, think of the Bible more as ideas that open doors to new realities in your life. This is because the Bible is not a book of information. It is a book of transformation. Take this cup of coffee, for example. Well, if someone were to bump into me and I were to spill coffee everywhere, why did I spill coffee? No, it's not because somebody bumped into me. It's because coffee was in the cup. If there had been tea in the cup, I wouldn't have spilled coffee. I would have spilled tea. Here's the point. Whatever's in the cup is what spills out when the cup shakes. And the same holds true for life. You ever noticed that we find out what's really inside us and others when life shakes? Not when everything is good and rosy and just the way, but when life shakes. If you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your cup every morning, not with coffee, but with gratitude, joy, peace, patience. When life shakes, well, that's what's going to spill out, whether you like it or not. Ignore this cup, and the devil will be more than happy to brew up some anger, bitterness, jealousy, resentment. And he's more than happy to place it in your morning mug. And if he does, and life shakes, and it will, you know what's going to spill out, whether you like it or not. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12. He said, "For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." You have to be in the Word of God if you want the Word of God to be in you. And you have to have the Word of God in you if you want it to be able to transform your life. Would you consider the Bible? For some of you, maybe today you're here and your decision is just to start. To start opening yourself to opening the Word of God. To be open to the wisdom. Put the Bible to the test. You tried everything else. Why not? I'm excited for this fall. We're going to begin something called Starting Point. It is specifically for those who are new to faith or still even just exploring faith. An opportunity to have the question, to dive deeper into the Bible. Maybe that's why you're here today. Just to make a decision to start. Maybe you've believed that the Bible is the inspired Word of God for a long time. Maybe for you, it just hasn't been the final authority in your life. You've allowed other voices to be the final authority. But Paul reminded Timothy that the Bible is not an authority in his life, but the final authority. Maybe for you, the decision is to be obedient to the Scriptures. Maybe for you, the decision is to not just be a hearer of the Word, but as the book of James tells us, to be a doer of the Word. Would you consider the Bible? Would you consider the Word of God? Would you consider allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you with the Word of God? You'll be glad you did. And all those around you who receive the overflow of your life, well, they'll be glad as well. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this gift, the gift of your Word. Father, would you forgive us for dismissing your Word, for just setting it on a shelf, for it to collect dust? Father, I pray that we will be able to open your word and open our hearts to your word, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of all those around us, for the sake of a lost and dying world that is looking for you, Father. And well, we're your choice to put your work, your love on display. So, Father, we thank you for the word that points to your Son, who has pointed us to salvation in him, to find life in him. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen.